Lord, we praise you this morning. Lord, we come to you needing. We come to you hungry. We come to you thirsty. We come to you seeking. And we know that you will be found by us. Lord, prepare us for what you have for us. Prepare our hearts for your words, Lord. Fill this place with your love. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your joy, Lord, your strength. Lamentations, it says, your mercies are new every morning. It doesn't just say one mercy. Mercies, every mercy we could possibly need is included in that word. Lord, we need them all. We need you, Lord. Have your way here this morning, Lord. Lord, help me to stay out of the way as much as I can. We love you, Lord. Bless this time. Bless your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there we go. I don't know exactly who it was. It was a football player from some defensive end or linebacker, a professional football player. He said, pain is weakness leaving your body. Today, I think I must have an awful lot of weakness. But you know what? God is my strength. God is my strength. I'm suffering some back pain. But God is good. Yeah, I've been in contact with a lady that texts me almost daily. And we all know her, who it is. But the question she keeps asking is why? Why? There's people in North Carolina asking the same question. Why? Does God know what we're going through? He does. Is God crying along with us? He is. Says in Psalms, I think it's 60, anyway, it's in the 60s somewhere. It says, I put your tears, or he puts my tears in his bottle. They are precious to him. Question I read this morning in one of my devotions that I was reading. Are we allowing God to write our story? The story of our life? God put the worship songs in the order he wanted, Terry. Good job. You guys were good today. We were blessed. I was blessed. I need worship. You ever notice how that just puts things in perspective? What's important? When you get right down to it, what's important? Our opening scripture this morning was 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What is important? I've got a lot of scripture this morning. There's not a whole lot of me. You know, I had some distractions this week. Some blessings. And a lot of things were going on. I'm going to read some scriptures, and there's going to be very little of me. Everybody okay with that? Psalm 22, 1 through 21. I'm reading this from the New King James Version because I really like it from the New King James Version. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them and for my clothing, and they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Who's that about? That was written by David 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. But it's a picture of crucifixion. It's a graphic picture of crucifixion. And Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair off his beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah, starting in verse 50, in chapter 52, starting in verse 13 through 53:12. And once again, I'm reading it from the New King James Version. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled to be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visits were marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed my report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of a soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. let's see, the book of Mark. I didn't have this planned very well. I guess that's all part of staying out of his way, right? Book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 16 through 33. One more page, Wayne. Here we go. Verses 16 through 33. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bringing him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. But he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they passed by, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking it, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. I'm going to turn back to Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Going back to Mark 35 through 39. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth Elijah." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone. Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Luke 23. Verses 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." One was saved, so there's hope. But only one, so we won't be presumptuous. Romans 5:6-11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't need to read that again, I'm going to. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3. You know, Habakkuk had been talking about his complaint, and God had told him in chapter 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Hebrews has this verse also, it quotes this verse, but they change it a little bit. Instead of talking, when it talks about the vision, instead of saying it shall speak, it will surely come, the writer of Hebrews uses the word he. Who's being talked about? Jesus Christ, because it's always all about Jesus. And Habakkuk, it goes on to say that the just shall live by faith. There's a promise in that, isn't there? It doesn't just tell us how we're supposed to live. It tells us that we will live by faith. Why? Why do people suffer? You know, this isn't heaven yet, is it? Not yet. For some of us, it's the closest we're going to get to hell. But for others, it's the closest they're going to get to heaven. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come talk to me. We need to take care of that. And it needs to be done today. Why? Why do people suffer? Habakkuk, at the end of his short little book, in chapter 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Will God make us go through something he wouldn't go through himself for us? He kind of proved that he would go through it too, didn't he? The sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's from Romans 8:18. I love that verse. Yes, there's suffering. What does God use the suffering for? Maybe it's weakness leaving the body. Maybe he's changing us. He's molding us. He's strengthening us. Sometimes it seems like we're being strengthened for the next problem. We are. But it goes beyond that. Because there is a promise. Zechariah talks about two mercies for every woe. For every bad thing that happens, God gives us two things to replace it. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Things don't look quite as bad when you're praising the Lord, Terry. You probably noticed that, haven't you? I have too. Praise God. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you're growing your people. You're changing us. You're working in us. You're finishing what you started. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everything you provide, everything you allow, everything you're doing in my life. Lord, help us all to keep strong, to keep focused on you, to keep looking to you, Lord, because you're the only answer. I have a standard, it's almost a joke. People say, what's new? And I say, God's mercy is new every morning. And there's another one. I got a question. I got an answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus Christ. Lord, go with us today. Maybe we feel your presence, Lord, all day and beyond that. We need you, Lord. We need the work you're doing in us. Help us, Lord, to just keep in mind that you're doing it for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming this morning. That concludes our service.